podcast. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Welcome, everybody. It's a take two this week of the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join the conversation today, 844-967-2789. We got it all worked out. We got callers. I can hear you. We're going to be able to have a conversation. I can hear Anya. Welcome, Anya. I really appreciate everybody's patience. So this past weekend, basically on a whim, I decided to go camping, which is a love it, right? I've been camping because I grew up middle class since I was a little kid. Tents and food, right? And you make it work. It is one of the things that is a treasure in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee County, are our parks. And parks obviously are what are available to folks that don't have lake houses and summer homes and cottages and things. That's where working class folks go to enjoy the great outdoors. So the first thing I wanted to do was give a shout out to county parks. I golfed Oakwood on Friday, way on the south side, just beautiful. These courses remain cheap to play. The state parks, it cost me $50 to rent a campsite for 3 nights. That was with the parking pass. And I went to Kettle Moraine, Pike Lake Unit, about 45-minute drive outside of Milwaukee County. And it was like an episode of Sesame Street. It was like, who are the people in your neighborhood? It was great. It was like the entire great cross-section of people camping and using Pike Lake State Park. It's beautiful. But the first day that I had there, full day, was Saturday. And I don't know if everybody across Wisconsin noticed this, but we had that incredible haze again on Saturday. There was high humidity, and that's what basically locked all that smoke from Canada, from the Canadian wildfires, into our atmosphere on a low-lying level. So instead of a perfectly sunny, beautiful day, it was a gorgeous day and everybody was out, but it was real hazy. I was coughing, woke up sneezing, had to take an allergy pill. And that brings me to where I want to start today, because the world is basically on fire right now. The Gulf of Mexico is as hot as a hot tub. It's 98 freaking degrees. It's, you don't cool off when you get in it. It makes you hotter. Greece is on fire. They now have an international firefighter need in Greece, just like they have in Canada. It is now basically one of the hottest years ever recorded. And Death Valley here in the United States in the Mojave Desert, they thought maybe they were going to break the record for the hottest day ever recorded in human history. They didn't. They came within 6 degrees. It was 128 degrees in the Mojave Desert yesterday. The world record, hottest day ever in human history, recorded 134 degrees. That was back in the 70s. Now, the interesting part is that the Mojave has been recording heat temperatures of over 120 degrees for a number of years now. Before the last 5+ years, it would take many, many years for the Mojave to heat up that much. Now it's basically every year. Phoenix today hit a record 19th consecutive day with a recorded temperature of over 110 degrees. 19th day. This is fry an egg on the asphalt hot. This is if you walk in bare feet on black asphalt, you will get third degree burns. I'm going to say that again. This is so hot that if you walk outside on black asphalt, you will get third degree burns on your feet. It's insane right now. And it's being made worse here in the United States because El Nino is occurring. But without a baseline level of climate change and warming of temperatures, we wouldn't be seeing these records. And recall last year, especially in France, but all across Western Europe, people were dying at alarming rates because of the historic heat waves in much of Western Europe. And they don't have AC over there like we do here. You know, their stuff is older than 200 years old, so you don't have air conditioning units or even the capability to put those into many of these many hundreds years old buildings. Folks, it is bad. 7,400 of acres of forest in Greece gone. 25 million acres in Canada already burned or currently ablaze. That's the size of Kentucky. Across China, it is getting very, very dangerous. You just pick a region of the world. Japan, people are croaking. India recorded the hottest February in its history, then endured higher temperatures in April. 11 people died in India in April in a single day. It happened again in a single day in both May and June. The Persian Gulf International Airport. You think, oh, folks in the Mideast, they've got the hot thing licked. The heat index there is 152 degrees. That is unsafe for human habitation. Like, you don't go outside in that. But here's what. More and more people work outside. Even with all of the automation, we're actually seeing an increasing number of global workers working in the out of doors. They're dying because of this. So I don't know how to pay. That's just the climate facts. As an economist, let's just take a pause. And without being a climate economist, I can just tell you, here's what I know. It's getting more expensive every time there's a climate disaster because it touches more people as our populations become more and more dense. I don't care where you are in the world. That's generally true. Insurance companies. And by the way, every time a climate crisis happens, think Hurricane Katrina, the one that hit the Northeast shortly thereafter. The floods in New England right now. A family of five was washed away in their car on their way to a picnic because something like 6 inches of rain dropped in, I believe it was Pennsylvania, inside 45 minutes. Yeah, that will kill you, and it has killed people. So every time we have one of these climate events, it's extraordinarily expensive on taxpayers. So I don't care if you don't believe in climate science. Do you care about your pocketbook? And if you don't care what the government does, do you buy house insurance, home insurance? Yeah, that's getting way more expensive. You know who exactly knows the climate change is real? Insurance adjusters. Because insurance companies worldwide are paying out more and more in claims every year. So what does that do for your premium, for your deductibles? It goes up. So I ask you again, do you care about your pocketbook? human productivity goes down as the temperature goes up, period. That's an observed economic fact. People die. That's human life at a great cost. Tax revenues go down when the temperature goes up because productivity goes down, all else being equal. Barclays, I looked this up just to do this segment. Barclays did an analysis last year. And to prove my point, they estimate that the cost of each climate disaster goes up 77% over the last 50 years. In other words, the less we do about it, the more expensive it gets, the more dire it gets, the more people die. This is where we're at. Another economic study I looked up. The cumulative cost of climate disasters worldwide between 1992 and 2013 is estimated, not worldwide, just the United States between 1992 and 2013. They estimate the cost to us somewhere in the ballpark of $5 trillion to $29 trillion. $30 trillion we have paid out because we refuse to do the hard work now to improve our climate. We have built an economy based on the way the climate used to be. We are not where we need to be to keep moving the U.S. forward. The specific number here in the United States is that 32 million workers work outside. And one of the most powerful things about this is that climate change is inherently inequitable. It will exert greater pain, greater costs on certain corners of the globe, on certain areas and regions of the United States, like everything else. When we come back, I'm going to remind you of what one of Wisconsin's leading elected officials had to say about all of this $30 trillion. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked in. I'm going to drop that little tidbit for you while the world burns here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, The Stephanie Miller Show. On Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. At the beginning of something I don't expect, you don't know where it's gonna go. But I believe we might be on to something. And I just thought maybe you should know. I've been playing out a lot of hypotheticals in my mind.
Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Feel free to join us, everybody. 844-967-2789. Anya, just a little note. I have not pulled up my caller interface, so if you do have people that give us a buzz, let me know. Not yet, that's fine. You still have time, folks. 844-967-2789. So, Greece is on fire. Canada's on fire. France and Germany nearly melted down last year. 11 people have died in a day in India in January, May, and June. Japan's melting. China's melting. Basically, the entirety of New England is in a flood cycle. Phoenix is on fire. And the ground's so hot, it'll give you third-degree burns. And all of this has cost the United States between 1992 and 2013, somewhere in the ballpark of $5 trillion to nearly $30 trillion. So University of Chicago economist did a little bit of analysis on this and testified before the U.S. Senate earlier this year. Now, for those of you who are not up to your eyeballs in wonk, the University of Chicago is sort of known to be the it think tank when it comes to economics, basically. So you Chicago economists are the real deal. So we're going to play a little sound. We're going to let it roll in its entirety because I want you to hear what Senator Ron Johnson thinks about all this. Go ahead and let it roll, Anya.
The mortality risk, again, these are all projections. I don't put any stock in them whatsoever, but by your own projections throughout the United States, because of climate change, we're going to actually have a reduced risk of mortality overall in the United States. In terms of excess deaths, a warming globe is actually beneficial. In my own state, your study shows that we'd have a reduction in mortality of somewhere between 54 and 56 people per, I guess, 100,000. Why wouldn't we take comfort in that?
What the work shows and the chart is that the effects of climate change are going to be very unequal. And absolutely, Wisconsin, Chicago, where I live, the reduction in cold days, the benefits from that will outweigh the damages from the hot days. But if you look more carefully at that, there's large swatches of the country where the damages will be much larger.
In terms of global health, in terms of excess death, we're actually in a better position to prevent death by having the climate increase in temperature a little bit, right?
Senator, I'm not familiar with that study. What I am familiar with is my study. Your characterization of it is incorrect.
Well, your study is very favorable to my state. Our mortality declines by 54 per 100,000.
Wisconsin will benefit in terms of mortality. There are 49 other states in the United States. Many of them will suffer. Many of them will suffer more than Wisconsin will gain. And that is the nature of climate change. It's very unequal.
According to your study, you're concerned if you're in the really hot region of Africa, but in terms of the United States and most of Europe, we're in pretty good shape. We're all blue. We have reduced risk of death.
Yes, so if you look carefully at the top of that figure, a large section of the country is not blue. Those are the areas where some of your colleagues represent people, and those people are going to face increased risk of mortality.
Yeah. So to summarize, Wisconsinites, we die a little less when it gets warmer. So that's good, right? Because screw the entire eastern and western seaboard. Screw all the Gulf states. And absolutely, definitely screw Africa, says Senator Johnson. That is one of the most callous, heartless, classist, racist bits of anti-science garbage that I have ever heard. You jerk. How dare you, sir? I believe that you swore an oath to the U.S. Constitution, didn't you not? Which means your interests have to go further than your own nose or your own state line or your own country, damn it. That is the only word that I can think of for what he said is vile. Utter disregard for human life. Oh, and by the way, that study that he was trying to cite and that Ron Johnson claimed supports the idea that a little global warming ain't so bad. Yeah, here was the studies. It was a study in Lancet from, I believe, 2019. Here was its actual conclusion. I went and looked it up. Quote, in the long run, climate change is expected to increase mortality burden and that there would be regional disparities concerning the impact of warming. So yeah, Ron, wrong. And oh, by the way, what economists study and what these studies report out is the aggregate impacts over time. They say nothing nothing about acute impacts, like the family of five that died just this past week when its car was washed away in New England, or the people that are dying in Phoenix, or the 32 million workers in the United States that work outside. To them, Ron Johnson says, I don't care. Vile. I'm going to move on when we come back. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to talk a little DeSantis and, oh, maybe that January 6th indictment. Keep it locked, everybody.
And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I'll smile, I know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Keep my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah. I put my arm around so you are so my end. I put my arm around and show you that I am. I'm unstoppable.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to give you a shot at it. Is Ron Johnson as vile as I think he is? Pretty sure that's a yes. Join the convo, 844-967-2789. As always and ever, love to be joined by my good friend Mark from the SAC. Mark, you are on. What say you, my friend?
He's, you know, there's no depths that Ron Johnson won't reach. You wonder if he's just stupid, ignorant, or just evil. That hopefully Mr. Johnson will be receiving some communications from the Michigan Attorney General because of his participation in trying to hand off the Michigan fake electors documents. But it just is. I was just contemplating as you're playing him talking there. Just how stupid is he? I mean, the amount of money that the climate change is costing us is probably far away than the cost it would be to try to do something about it. We should have done something about it decades ago, and that's opportunity lost at this point in time there. But I mean that even some of the sporting magazines, that are like Pheasants Forever and Ducks Unlimited, are touting the value of carbon capture by prairie lands and by forests, that especially, like, it was just fascinating in a Pheasants Forever that I'd gotten, that they're showing that for some of those prairie plants, that the roots are like two or three times as deep as the plant itself. And that, mm-hmm, that when those plants die, that carbon is captured beneath the soil. I mean, that, and yes, it's just small little changes we could do, but maybe our lawn should all be converted into little miniature prairies.
Yeah, it's a question of scale and scalability, right, Mark?
Yeah,
thanks for
it's just that. We just need to do something about it. I mean, and Ron Johnson should be just, I don't know. Why, they should all get stuffed in England's old cell of little ease in the Tower of London and let them live all their lives there.
Couldn't agree with you more, Ron. Or how about make him work outside in Phoenix today? That's, you want to say climate change doesn't matter, then put on your steel-toed work boots, and oh, by the way, you're wearing jeans because you can't wear shorts on a work site. Put on your hard hat, your reflective vest, and your long sleeves because no short sleeves on work sites. Put on some work gloves and go out there, Ron, and show us that you actually understand what this means for middle-class working folks. Thanks for the call, Mark. We also have Gene from Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for your patience with me. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Thank you for the great show and great comments by Mark. I second everything he had to say. Can I say a hole? What?
Yes, you can, Gene. Go for it.
Guy, he is so gross. That man needs to be taken out and put in a patrol car, taken and locked up and sent down to Guantanamo. He is such, I'm sorry to use the word sleazebag, but I'm sick of that guy. That guy makes so many disparaging comments toward people. He's just, I mean, he's just a sick son of a gun, the way he won his election. I mean, he's just gross. He's not Wisconsin. And you know what? I'm kind of sick of those people that got the big bucks that are sticking and putting really bad ads against good people that run in our state that would really represent us and maybe have some sane things to say instead of the outrageous things that Johnson comes up with. And I can't wait. I hope they do something about him, you know, with those fake electors, because that guy needs to be held accountable, because justice matters. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Great show.
Thank you, Gene. Always good to hear from you. Couldn't agree with that anymore. Remember, Ron Johnson's the one that told everybody that mouthwash cures COVID. Like, how is this not disqualifying? You peddler of lies, misinformation, and BS. I'm so angry over it. By the way, you want to talk about a tax dodge? Let's just pause for a minute on the Mandela Barnes, Ron Johnson election. Yes, it was racist. Yes, all of that. But this thing that hurt Mandela so much was, oh, he didn't pay property taxes for a couple. You know what Ron Johnson is? An absolute tax dodging bazillionaire. Ron Johnson doesn't pay more in taxes every year than Mandela Barnes will make in his whole damn life. That's the problem. Talk about it and pay property. Shame. Again, vile human being, in my opinion. Vile. Let's give a shout out to Michigan's attorney general doing what apparently Josh Call cannot find in himself to accomplish, indicting the 16 Michigan fake electors. Now they're each going to face up to 14 years in Michigan prison. Where are you, Josh? Hello, Josh. It's me, Margaret. Really hoping you do something about this, because your first indictment would have to be this Senator Johnson. Right? Without him, Wisconsin's slate of fake electors doesn't try to make it into the hands of the vice president. Joanne from Madison. Welcome. How vile is Ron Johnson, Joanne?
Hi. I've got a point on the climate change issue. And by the way, I just love your program. And this is the first time I've been able to call in because of various technological issues and all that.
Well, I'm so glad to hear your voice loud and clear, Joanne. Thanks for calling.
Oh, great. I've got a rather controversial point about climate change. I'm very much for remote learning and remote working in various settings, commercial and occupational settings, which is possible for a lot of us. And as we know, during the pandemic, a number of us had to work at home, and the climate improved as proven by various studies. And I'm just wondering, when I talk about this, people say, yeah, but working at home is so lonely and all of that. But if we worked at home, just a quarter of us worked at home, just think of what the Beltline would be. We wouldn't need the FlexLink. Just think about what the air quality would be if we didn't have those extra cars on the road. But corporate leaders are working vehemently against remote working. And
don't you think, Joanne, they're going to fail? I mean, I think the workforce just... they're going to try, and they are in different sectors, but they're having a damnedly hard time forcing people back into the office. I don't think they're going to be able to force any. I don't think any industry is going to go back to the 5-day a week work week unless it's actual in-person work, like you're building something or, you know, do you think we're ever going back to the way it was pre-COVID?
Well, I think many of us who've learned good working skills have learned how to be productive at home and have really happy at avoiding some of the everyday office pressures and all of that force us to waste time. I just not to brag or anything like that, but I wrote a book and several major articles extra because I had all that extra time. I didn't have to talk to administrators.
Joanne, can we give you a free promo? Joanne, what's your last name? Where do we find your work product?
Yeah, I just wrote the book Good Robot, Bad Robot, Dark and Creepy Issues Involving robots, autonomous vehicles, and AI, and it's available at Amazon. But if you can get a hold of me, which is very easy, I'll give you a free copy.
I'll take you up on that. I consume the written word like it's going out of style. Thanks for the call, Joanne. If you don't mind, Anya, get her info. I'd love to read Joanne's book and maybe talk to her about it. Just want to briefly, I'm going to go back to the lines. If you're on there, stay there. Here's what Dana Nessel, Michigan's Attorney General, had to say. She called the fake electors that plan a desperate effort to undermine democracy. She also said this. They knew they weren't the duly elected and qualified electors. All of that was a lie. And by the way, we know that in 2021, a guy by the name of, last name's Maddock, I forget what the guy's first name was, he's been the co-chair of the Michigan Republican Party for some time, was caught on an audio recording saying, quote, "We fought to seat the electors. The Trump campaign asked us to do that," end quote. So yeah, Donald, Jack Smith is going to indict your butt over your plot to overthrow America. On that note, we've got to hear from CJ. CJ, is Ron Johnson vile for saying that African lives and people that live in Gulf states and on the East and West Coast don't really matter as much as Wisconsinites? Is that a terrible thing to say?
Well, thank God Ron Johnson won. Because if you saw him during the House Ways and Means Committee with the EPA and Senator Kennedy questioned the Biden administration. Yeah, you are. You're talking.
I want to know, like, if it's okay to say that Wisconsin lives matter more than, like, other people's. Like, is that an okay sentiment to express?
I would like,
regardless of what you think about what we should do about the climate.
I would, because the Environmental Control Protection Administration said that they believe that the American budget should spend $50 trillion, but he could not claim or verify or testify to under oath that it would drop the temperature 1/100th of a
percent. Yeah, I think part of this is keeping it from getting hotter. Isn't part of it keeping it from getting hotter, CJ? Okay, CJ. Yes, China is a problem. Yes, India is a problem. Let's just assume I agree with you on all of that. I disagree with some of it, but let's assume I agree with you about most of that. What I want to know is, do you agree with Ron Johnson that certain lives matter more than other lives? Do you agree with that?
Well, I would say that your party's really good at that as far as abortion.
CJ, that's not the question. If you want to accuse my party of that, which, by the way, I don't identify strictly with a party. I identify with good ideas. Do you believe, CJ, that certain lives matter more than other lives?
I thank God every day that Ron Johnson won because he cares about.
Okay, bye, CJ. I didn't think that was a tough question on you. It was like, no. All human lives have value and dignity, but apparently that's a stretch. William from Sturtevant, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Welcome aboard. I'm excited, ecstatic. This is long overdue. I love your plants here. It's good. 17, I think you're going to get up to pretty soon from studios, but I'm happy you're here. I'm here to going back in history, and I study things in history, but this is only 2014.
You got to hurry it up. We only got about 30 seconds, William. Be quick.
Okay. He had a staffer molested during a situation in Muskego as a junket for politicians, and next thing you know, it turned out it was that the staffer was the victim, and the suspect was a state representative who was let go with no charges, and then was promoted to a major chief.
I have a vague recollection of this.
9 degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News.
On Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and that is my girl, Mary J. Blige. Anya asked me before the show, what music do you want to hear today? I was like, give me what we had yesterday. I don't know. Should I tell the listening public out there, Anya, the secret to all the music picks on here?
I think it's your right to tell them.
All right. I had thought I was never going to say this, just in case somebody eventually noodled it out. But I'm going to tell y'all, every bit of music, unless it's some sort of clever hook, that you hear on my show will be sung or produced by a woman or a female lead vocal band. Because there's just so much good stuff out there. If you got a suggestion, you got a favorite female artist, let me know. You can tweet at me. You can thread me. Is that what it's called? Do you say you can thread me?
I don't know. I guess it works.
You stitch me? Like, do I get zippered? I don't know, Mark. What is it? So that stuff is all at Maggie Dawn Show. Remember, my last name is spelled with a U and not a W like the dishwashing liquid. Let me know. Who are your favorite female artists? I can't get enough of their stuff. We'll go all over the map. I think I'm going to have to put out there, like, new public poll. How vile is Ron Johnson on a scale of 1 to 10? Tell me your favorite thing about what you like to hate the most about Ron Johnson. Like, what's the stupidest thing that you think he's ever said? There's such just an enormous smorgasbord of stupid things that Ron Johnson has said. And even if I thought his policies were good, I could never make an argument that, like, that's my guy, because he seems totally out of touch. This is the gallon of milk test, loaf of bread test. Like, how much does that cost, Ron? Does anybody think he'd be able to answer that question? Hell no. Man hasn't been into a Quick Mart in years. Quick Trip, the Wisconsin best filling station ever. Anyways, promised William, hey, friend, welcome back. You didn't have enough time, and I think I made you flustered. But now you got time, William. Well, tell us what you wanted to tell us.
A little bit. You would beat me in a foot race, too, I'm sure. But so we're talking about Mr. Johnson, Senator Johnson. So there was a junket in Muskego, Wisconsin. Johnson's people were there. There were people there with it was also his staffer, female staffer. And it was a get together of various people from various, leaders of politics, per se. So that night led into a situation where one of the staffers, the staffer that I'm referring to, I won't use a name on this one, but she was subject to a molestation, and it was Ron Johnson's staffer, and nobody got in a situation that it was reported to the law enforcement. However, it was identified that night that the attacker was a state legislative person. So it went unreported, and it's all over Google, okay? I mean, you'll find it, you'll see it. And it was kept quiet. Now, mind you, he's from Madison. He's, you know, he was a Republican. And so things were pretty quiet. And next thing you know, the same individual is promoted from a legislator to majority leader, I believe, was his position that he was given. So there he goes off, and he's doing his majority leader work. And short time, I can't tell you how later on from the first attack, but he decided to go or assigned to the Washington, D.C., another junket there, political. And he got a little bit out of control, more than a little bit out of control. And two ladies were molested by that same individual.
Wow. I just because it's super detailed, William, and these are the sorts of things I want to be sure that we get right and are verified, because frankly, the allegations are incendiary. I have a faint recollection about this, but William, I beg of your forgiveness for me cutting you off, because I want to do a little digging on it, and then we can help contextualize that story for folks. And I promise to deliver on that before the week's end. If I forget, Anya, you hold me accountable. Listeners are welcome to as well. Thanks for the call, William. Annie from Watertown, you are up. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Okay. Like the cottage time the other day. Ron Johnson favorite thing, I guess, was that he was getting his climate science from the guy that keeps his urine in jars in his house. I think that might be Mercer. But
I can just see, like, Ron comes over, he's like, whoa, remind me to not hang out with this guy again, but I'll use his science.
Yeah, that when he was running first, I think that's when I heard. And this also goes back a couple decades, because I know it was about the time I stopped having really anything to do with an old conservative, good Republican friend and everything that just would not accept climate change. And I just, to heck with it, I thought you were smart, you know.
Yeah.
But at the time, this is a couple decades ago, everybody, all these deniers were going around and everything, but our military and the insurance companies were up on it. They knew it was happening and knew it was coming. They were preparing for it. They were trying to figure stuff out, mainly with the military, because it was great national security risk.
Yep. They could juice their budgets by arguing that climate change was real. Thanks for the call, Annie. Yeah, it's one of those interesting things. You can often follow the money and find at least a nugget of the truth, right? The insurance companies knew, our military knows. Listen, you think we have an immigration problem now? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when people are migrating because of the climate? And I don't mean we'll be looking at 60,000 people on our borders. Try millions. That's all we got time for. So come back tomorrow. I'm going to break down the little scheduling conference that happened today in the Trump National Security Indictment. And we're going on indictment watch for the January 6th case. That one's going to happen in D.C., not in some Palm Beach County in Florida with Judge Aileen Cannon. As always and ever, folks, it's been real. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. My thanks to Anya, my producer. Come back tomorrow here on the Civic Media Radio Network.